and welcome to This Week in MCU, the weekly after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and with me, after a two-month stint of just silence, is Senraven.
Have I been quiet for that long?
Well, we've been quiet for that long.
It's amazing. Nobody would ever believe that I could be quiet for that long. Okay.
Yeah. What's really interesting is that I think this is the longest we've gone without Marvel stuff.
There's been, you know, it was a long break for them not to do stuff.
Yeah. I the last episode we recorded was November 27th, where we covered the Werewolf by Night and the Guardians Holiday Special.
Which were great.
And which I went back and rewatched the Guardians Holiday Special like two or three times because
nice.
That song. I don't know what Christmas is.
That song was getting requested every day, multiple times a day on stream.
Oh, I love it so much.
It's a lot of fun.
So, we're here today to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. After this movie finished for me, I'm just going to throw this out there. I realized I hate the name of this movie.
It's not the greatest, is it? Not,
well, but I think there's a reason they did it, and they showcased it at the end of the movie, but we'll get to that. But before we jump in, is there any news from the MCU?
The news are we got all the stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Guardians 3 is up in a month. Devil Sore and Moon Girl is already up on Disney Plus.
Yep.
All the stuff is coming up. There's some rumors. I just saw one earlier today that I forgot the actor's name. Let me see if it's still on. Nope, it's no longer on my phone because I already, you know, turned off the phone and turned it back on, so it went away. I don't remember the actor's name. Somebody's cast as the main villain for Thunderbolts. Oh. And the rumor is that it's going to be Sentry, created by Valentina. So we'll see how truthful that works out too.
Sentry created by Valentina.
Yeah, so there's a lot to dig in there.
I mean, that could mean anything.
Right, yeah. Exactly. But like it could be completely not true that it's even him. So,
I've been hearing Sentry rumors for a while.
That'd be cool.
I guess the problem with Sentry is it's basically Superman who's psychotic.
Yes.
Right. And so I'm concerned. Just
Steven Yeun, who I don't know from anything, but that's the has joined the cast of Thunderbolts.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I hesitate to really look it up too much because I don't know anything about that. So, interesting. So the other thing that I've been seeing more are more Guardians. Like when I went to the movie last night, I saw the newest Guardians trailer,
mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting because it was very much different from what we saw in the original trailer. The original trailer concentrated on basically what looked to be Wundagore Mountain, where the High Evolutionary had done his experiments and everything. And where Drax nailed some little kid with a ball, right? So
yes.
Which
I hope that's still in the movie.
I do too. But this one didn't concentrate on that. And this one concentrated more on like the space stuff. I mean, they showed more Adam Warlock or him or whatever they're going to calling him. Will Poulter, right?
Yeah, Will Poulter. There was a scene in one of the trailers with him fighting Drax.
Yeah, yeah.
There was another one with him like just flying through completely on fire. I'm looking forward to it. Like,
yeah,
this is going to be, if Wakanda Forever made you cry, I'm pretty sure this one's going to do this that as well.
Well, there was a scene in the trailer where they showed Drax carrying Peter Quill's body.
Yeah, I don't think he's
dead. I don't think he's dead either. No. In fact, I think it's a swerve because the rumors have always been that Drax is going to get killed.
More than likely, considering he said he's done with doing any type of makeup stuff.
Right. So
it's the nipples. You know, he's got sensitive nipples. It's all the makeup.
So that all being said, the funniest scene in the trailer for me was when the new Gamora was basically saying, "You fell in love with somebody else. You may as well fall in love with her." and pointed over to Nebula. And then Peter started looking at Nebula. He goes,
"You had beautiful eyes.
Beautiful black eyes." It's like, come on.
Thank you. They were replaced by my father when I made a mistake. Right. He chose a beautiful color.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny. I did like the fact that we still saw Cosmo in the trailer. Yes.
Although I'm guessing it's going to be the same as the special. So it's going to be the girl girl dog.
Yeah, whatever. At this point, I don't care too much. Yeah, I have hopes that the Guardians aren't gone after this movie. I have hopes that they'll be around and we may get a guest star from, you know, in a Thor movie or something with a couple of them or whatever.
That would be good.
Well, because you can't really kill off the whole team and you can't just... That's the whole problem with comics, right? Or the good thing about comics is...
Right.
Like, they're always there. Like... Which is why I was always a fan of, look, Robert Downey Jr., for all intents and purposes right now, appears to be the perfect Tony Stark, right?
Yeah.
But they could, I still think we could James Bond all this stuff. You don't have to kill him off. You can just, and if they use the multiverse to deal with that, fine. But, you could replace the actor because they replace artists in comic books and they look significantly different sometimes. I don't know. This is the cast issue is the least comic booky thing that they do. Ironically. I mean, they do all kinds of really cool comic booky things, but anyhow, okay. So, let's see, what other trailers did I see? I saw the Flash trailer.
Oh, so scarily enough, it looks really good.
It does. It's annoying. Well,
it's really annoying. Plus, it's got Keaton, which makes me want to see it.
Right, right. And significant, it appears. Like, it's not just a cameo.
Yeah.
And I heard a rumor about that. Not about the Keaton cameo, but about the Flash movie. And while it wasn't in the test screening a few months ago, what I heard was you might get a handoff to Grant Gustin.
Oh, that would be cool. Gustin was such a good Flash. I agree.
And frankly, from a reputation standpoint, the polar opposite of Ezra Miller.
Well, that's really not difficult.
No, I know, but I'm just saying they have to deal with it, right? They kind of have to deal with it. And so, this is a Flashpoint type storyline, right?
Yeah.
So, they could deal with that.
So, Gunn did say that this movie is the reset point.
Right.
So, they're going to get rid of Ezra. After this,
they're not saying that right now, but they have to.
They're not going to be. I highly doubt they're moving forward with anything with Ezra from there on. But we still have Aquaman 2 and other things that are supposed to be coming down.
The Shazam movie.
Yeah, the Shazam movie is out pretty soon. That's in 2-3 weeks.
Something like that. Yep. It's coming out soon.
I'm looking forward to that. That should be too. Fun.
That, you know, honestly. I liked Wonder Woman. I liked Aquaman. I liked the latest Suicide Squad movie. I love Peacemaker. I thought that was excellent.
Was a lot of fun.
But Shazam is the lighthearted.
Definitely.
It's the lighthearted Superman movie that I or a Superman movie. It got that. I mean, yeah. So
they did that little cameo for him at the very for the stinger at the
cafeteria.
The cafeteria thing, that was really cute.
I love the fact that it was all lighthearted. Like they did a great job with that.
I'm kind of glad that we've been gone for 2 months and we weren't on when the whole thing with Black Adam and Superman and hey, I'm back in Superman. Wait, no, I'm not back in Superman and all that stuff was going on.
So I think I finished watching Black Adam.
You think so? Are you not sure?
I'm not sure because it wasn't memorable.
Okay.
Like
I thought,
Pierce Brosnan as Dr. Fate
was awesome. Really good.
Awesome. Yeah. That's about all I remember.
The costuming was really good. The storyline was all right.
Hawkman was in that.
Hawkman was well. It was Hawkman, but it was the dude from Leverage, and I really like that guy.
Yes,
he's a really good actor. He's a lot of fun. So I was very happy to see him in that role.
Yes, but
the movie was pretty decent. Like it was all right.
And I love The Rock and stuff. Like right. In almost everything. But man,
first half of it, he was just. Because you can't do a movie with The Rock and not let him smile for, you know, or make jokes for half the freaking movie.
Right. And then, So I remember there was a little kid who was kind of The Rock's mentor.
Yes. That was weird. But, like, once he started doing the quips and kind of smiling a little bit more... For the second half, I thought it actually really got better.
It did get better. I just didn't find it particularly memorable. That was the thing that just bugged me about it.
It was okay. It was all right.
So I'd like to see him get another shot.
I'll be honest with you. I liked it better than I liked the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, I didn't. That's not even a question.
But we covered that before. Yeah, I'm not happy with that movie.
Right.
PBJM Nom Nom in chat says Venom 3 is in pre-production. So that's one of the stories. The other one is also that Eternals 2 is in pre-production now as well.
Which I'm very happy about. I think the Eternals are going to have a much bigger impact on things than people realize. And I think they are going to deal with the Celestial or the... In the bay there. So I think we're going to deal with all of that. So
one of the stories that we have is that Disney came out and said, hey, we're going to slow it down. And they apologized for Phase 4.
Yep.
Which they were right to do. It was kind of shitty. But in like looking back over Phase 4, it feels like the entirety of it is set up. Which is not great for a movie. You don't want to be like, hey, here's a 2-hour movie, which is nothing but set up.
Well, and it didn't culminate in anything. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
that was the whole thing. So
exactly, but like a lot of Phase 4 was kind of ugh.
It was pre-multiverse setup. It's really all it was. Yeah.
Well, even Multiverse of Madness was more setup.
Yeah,
and a lot of stuff. So it feels like the entirety of Phase 4 was let's set up everything moving forward. But Phase 5 started off pretty decent, and I'm looking forward to everything coming out.
Right. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into this. First, if you've not been with us, remember, this is a spoiler cast. We will be spoiling the movie. If you've not seen the movie, sorry.
It's been a week. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're running late on this. So
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to follow us, you can follow us on twitch.tv/VOByKurt and subscribe to the podcast by going to anchor.fm/this-week-in-MCU or just search for This Week in MCU in any of your podcatchers. If you want to watch us live, basically set your notifications on the Twitch channel because we're going live when there is something to go live about.
And now we have things to talk about and more coming up.
Right. So there's a possibility, just to let you know ahead of time, that next week we may cover Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, the new cartoon series. So there's only 6 episodes, and so we'll probably jump in and review that. Might be a shorter episode, but you know, whatever. If you have any comments, questions, and suggestions, send an email to thisweekinmcu@gmail.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts /iTunes, we will read it live when we record. Okay. So, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. I will tell you, it's very difficult to try to make notes in a movie theater with a whole bunch of people around and without letting your light shine on things. I saw this in 2D. I did not go for the 3D aspect of things.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I imagine it probably looks really cool in 3D because of the quantum
burst. You know, you're making me tempted to go see it in 3D.
Yeah.
I might just do it if I find the time.
Yeah. So, but the movie opens with a Scott walking montage.
which we saw it in the preview, right? That, yes. They had that in one of the previews. And it's just funny to see them pull that off because they did the gag in the preview. Right. That people, you know, mistake him for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And they did the same thing. You know, they didn't cut it out. So I'm happy that they kept it.
Right. Yeah. And so he's walking around. He's got music running in his head, and he's just a happy boy. But what we find out is that it's been clear that he's not been doing much heroing. He's just on a book tour, just selling his book and doing book signings and readings, and not much is happening. But he gets a phone call, and Cassie is in jail.
Like father, like daughter.
Oh, boy. So Cassie's in jail, and she looks significantly different because they changed actresses again.
Yeah, they did.
But that's all right. I like her. I like her as Cassie. I think
it's fine. She did a really good job. Right. Hey, you're a dad. How's that phone call?
That phone call. Well, again, I've never been in jail, right? So it's a different perspective. But yeah, so he finds out she's in jail. He goes to get her. And it turns out she took part in a protest because they were clearing out a homeless encampment in the city, and she shrunk a police car down with PIM particles.
Now, this is still set in San Francisco.
Yes.
So, yes, they are clearing out homeless encampments because San Francisco. But, oh, my God, can we please shrink a lot of these cop cars down?
Well,
I would love for that to actually happen.
Well, this is yet another one. So we've got Hawkeye now, and we've got this cop car. We've got two vehicles that are shrunk, and no sign of them being fixed.
Right. I really hope those two cops took it out in the back and put it into a parking spot.
Right next to that van.
Yeah, like 3 hours later, it wears off. The car pops back up.
So
instead of, hey, we forgot it in the evidence lockdown.
So, right. So he takes Cassie home, and home means basically, it appears to mean basically living with the Pims and the Van Dynes. You know, so they're having a family dinner. She calls Hank Pym grandpa.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Was weird because I'm going, they're not married or anything, and like she hasn't known him that long, right?
Right,
because she didn't really know him in the second movie.
No, but yeah, because everybody bleeped out.
Yeah. So. So she's like saying, yeah, she goes through the whole, you've not been there, blah, 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 blah. But they're talking about stuff, and it's clear that Cassie has been training with Hank and Janet and Hope.
Yep.
And we find out later she has a suit, but she's been training, and Scott has no clue that this has been happening.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah, agreed.
you don't tell the dad anything anyway.
Oh, one of the things that I thought was really cool in the just to go back a little bit in the montage was they showed Scott having lunch with Jimmy Woo.
Yes.
And doing the appearing doing the car.
Little magic tricks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And the kind of the sad part of that whole montage was the you can see what character was supposed to be Stan Lee.
Oh yeah.
Like you could tell that the guy in the store that, you know, is like, you know, here's your coffee, don't worry, your money's no good.
Yep.
That had to have been for Stan Lee.
That would have been really cool because you can hear Stan Lee calling him Spider-Man.
Yes, absolutely.
So, so it's clear that Cassie's been doing research and whatnot, and she's been researching the quantum realm, and you know, she's been playing around with things, and Hank's been helping her, and she made basically a quantum walkie-talkie.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, cool. And then Janet goes, wait a minute. So this is a two-way thing? Shut it down. Shut it down, shut it down, shut it down.
So this movie doesn't wait. You got like 5 minutes of, hey, I'm walking down the street. I talk, you know, make a couple of jokes. Oh, we're having dinner. Oh, let's get right into it.
Right, right. And so they shut it down and it turns back on.
They did show the ants before that, though.
Oh, yeah. So he's got, like, these super smart ants.
Super smart ants that are making, like, whatever they were doing with, like, technology.
It looked like technology ant farm. It was, yeah. And
it looked really cool.
It really did. And so when they shut down that walkie-talkie, the quantum walkie-talkie, it turns back on. Has a beam and sucks everybody into it right away. They fight for like 30 seconds to try to not get sucked in. But they, as well as the ants, get all sucked in. And so now they're just zooming down through the quantum realm. And they end up on, I'm going to call it a planet, for lack of a better term. In the quantum realm. That's populated with living organisms and whatnot, but they get separated. So I think it's Cassie and Janet and Hope and Hank on one set. No.
It's Hope. Hope and
Hope is with Scott.
Yeah, Hope and Scott, and then no.
Yeah.
No. Hope is with her parents, and then Cassie's with Scott.
When they landed, they found each other. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, because they were together there. So, regardless, they get separated, so they got to deal with that. And they're dealing with these giant microscopic monster type things, and that's cool. And then they get surrounded by civilians, basically, or just
a whole bunch of weird creatures and humanoids.
Right.
But the dude with the laser head was awesome.
Zolom was his name.
Zolom.
What I thought was really interesting is that immediately when that all happened, I was like, this should be the Micronauts, but they can't do the Micronauts because it's a toy line. It's a right. Hasbro-owned toy line. But
one of the rumors before was that they were going to have Micronauts for that section, and they couldn't do it.
Right. However, we meet a couple of the humanoids. We meet Quaz, who is a telepath and played by the dude who played Chidi in The Good Place.
Right.
And he's awesome. And he's an awesome telepath. I mean, just I love the fact they just went that direction with him. His companion, Gentora, who I know I recognize that actress, but I don't know where from.
I had the same feeling.
Gentora, however, is in the Micronauts.
Okay.
So they and by that name, so that is good. The thought right now is that Quaz is quite possibly another Micronaut equivalent, who would be Arcturus Ram,
Oh, God. Okay, so that's Katie O'Brien.
Yep.
And you recognize her because she's on The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay. All right.
And Westworld and Black Lightning and Z Nation. But she was...
A whole bunch of stuff.
She had an episode on The Rookie and a few other things, but she has like 4 episodes on The Mandalorian.
Oh, okay. Then I'm sure. I knew I've seen her somewhere. So, we find out that Gentora and Quaz and all of their people. Oh, and there was this one little dude. I can't remember his name. The Blob dude. He reminded.
Oh, the Blob dude was amazing.
Yeah, and the Blob dude voiced by the dude who played Kurt in Ant-Man.
Okay,
the Russian guy.
The David.
Yes.
Desmalchian. It's Veb as the Blob.
Yep.
And I'm glad they got him because that was the drawback right away for me is they didn't have Lewis doing a recap at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
That instantly put this movie right away at 8 out of 10 instead of perfect start. Because damn it, give me my Lewis.
Yeah, no kidding. So right before Scott gets overwhelmed by all these aliens, basically, he hears Cassie say, "Drink the ooze."
Yeah, drink the ooze.
It's like, what? And he gets kind of overwhelmed. And they force his mouth open and give him some ooze to drink. And the ooze happens to be what this Blob dude is made out of.
And it's a universal translator.
Which is good because, man, finally, at least we got that out of the way.
Right.
But at least they didn't take the cheap way out and make it so, oh, no, they speak English.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Yeah. Well, but that's how TV shows and movies always used to do it, right? You didn't have to worry about that. Everybody just spoke the same language.
I like how they did it in 13th Warrior. If you remember,
remember that, but
they have a whole montage with him traveling with the Norsemen and just listening to them for like a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, like one word gets translated into his language.
Oh.
And then a few more words. So he kind of learns it as they just sit around and talk until somebody cracks a joke at his expense and he responds back. And people are like, holy crap, you learned our language.
Right. That makes sense. Okay. So through all this back and forth and everything, we're finding out that. And Janet gives a little bit of her backstory. When she was sucked into the quantum realm, she found this other dude who happens to be Kang. And
spent 30 years with him.
30 years with Kang.
Maybe a couple of years with Kang, but like the rest of it, apparently she spent fighting Kang.
Right.
Because this is Kang the Conqueror.
Kang the Conqueror. And we get a lot of just backstory. Just a lot of backstory. But not as much backstory about Kang as you might think.
Well, so what we get is that he was imprisoned there he was banished there basically by the Council of Kangs.
Right. Right.
And they broke his power supply.
Right. And so
she was helping him get out because he promised to take her home. And then once the power supply got repaired, since he's mentally connected to his ship, when she touched the ship, she got a vision of what he's done before, which is destroy timelines.
And or what he's about to do as well.
Yeah,
because you don't know. Right. So, but it's all destruction.
He does promise to take her home. Yeah, it's all destruction. He does promise to take her home, and he does promise that her world will be untouched. But somebody else would be like, okay, that's fine. I'll take you home.
But Janet was like, I can't let you.
And then she dumped like 4 miniaturizers into the power core or something like that and just either made it explode or made it not. I don't know what happened. Like, they don't really explain what she did to it. It's just
from what happened later, it looked like she made it grow. But it was weird. It was like a kind of an explosion, slight growth thing or something.
I think she might have stuck both miniaturizers and expanders into it.
Could be. Could be, because I do so, remember there did appear to be multicolors there.
Yeah.
So, but regardless, he couldn't use it.
And right. So she broke it.
Yeah. So this is where it gets a little fuzzy for me because there's just a lot going on. But she was trying to stop him, and we get when did Hank separate from them? That was the thing that wasn't clear to me.
So they go to the restaurant because she takes them to see a contact of hers, and that's Bill Murray.
Oh, right. Right. So Krylin. Kylar.
Kylar.
Yeah.
And, of course, he double-crosses them.
Yep.
And at some point, Hank just kind of separates for a minute.
Right, right. And takes off. But Kylar, the Bill Murray thing, I thought was fun. Look, it was fun.
It was all right.
But
it was cool to see him.
But then they kill him off.
Well, yeah.
And because he double crosses and reports them to Kang.
Yeah.
So all right.
So apparently he was her contact from all the years there that they spent years and years fighting Kang.
Right.
And apparently Kang made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Right. So everything goes sideways. We're still trying to get Cassie and Scott catching up with everybody. But I want to get to MODOK because there's a lot of stuff that happens in between. But okay, I wasn't sure how they were going to pull off MODOK because we only saw a very brief clip of him in the trailer.
Yeah, and luckily we only saw a quick clip of him in the trailer and we couldn't see the face.
Okay, so I'm actually okay with the face. I'm okay
with
it. Are
you?
I am.
Are you really though?
Yeah, yeah. So here's the I thought it was funny because they keep following the MODOK is kind of a joke generally anyway, right?
Yeah. So they are.
And so I'm okay with that aspect of things. They did the whole mechanized organism designed only for killing. Cool. Great. I'm happy with that too. I was really happy with seeing his like helmet, his faceplate, which made him look totally evil.
Yes. The design was really cool. I did not like the face. I thought it was really weirdly silly.
It is silly.
I did like that it gives them a lot of quips. Like Scott actually does make the quip of but that's MODOK, not
right, MODOK. Well, what's funny because that's what I actually was thinking about that earlier because I'm going, okay, I know MODOK stands for mechanized organism designed only for killing. Yeah. And I went, yeah.
Yes. they do say it in the movie, like he sent the hunter after them. I'm like, oh, that's where they're gonna use MODOK. Right. He's gonna be the hunter.
Right.
They do have the scene where after Cassie and Scott got caught and they're talking with MODOK and it's like, but what's with the baby legs? It looks like it's not a Bjork. That's a singer.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a Bjorn, right?
Bjorn. Or, yeah.
Yeah. The baby holders.
Yeah, the baby holders.
Yeah. And that was pretty funny. I love the fact that they used Darren Cross, the character.
Yes.
Because they threw him into the quantum realm.
Yep.
And so to use him in that manner, look, in the comics, it was his name was originally George Tarleton, and he was a scientist. I don't care. This makes sense in the MCU. And I'm okay.
Well, it makes sense in MCU for a version of MODOK.
Yes.
They can always go with something else.
Well, it could be George Tarleton in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Because, right? Wasn't that... It was George Tarleton
In the cartoon.
In the game. In the game.
Oh, in the game, was it?
Yeah, I believe so. Because they did go the AIM route.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I having MODOK be kind of a comic, aspect of the movie. I did not mind, And the fact that his face was stretched out like that made it hard to take him seriously, which is okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
The problem
for me is that they made it so goofy that I couldn't figure and decide if I like this one or the Hulu cartoon one better. And that's the Hulu cartoon was not good.
It was not. But look, Patton Oswalt, though. I mean,
Patton Oswalt did a great job at it, but like with bad material,
right?
But like when I'm trying to decide if I like that one or the Patton Oswalt better, that's kind of bad,
right? But they did. So part of what I liked also is, well, because when I first saw the helmet, because that's what you see first, I'm going, oh, is this what they're gonna do? Just like give us the helmet and no face. I want my
big just face. Have it as a robot, right?
Right. I said I want my big face, and sure enough, I got my big face.
You can't really do him without showing the big face.
Right. Right. And then they gave him the gem on top, you know, on the forehead that he can beam from.
The weaponry that they did for him was really good.
It was really good. It was really good.
And it felt like, you know, he's been stuck in Quantum Realm with somebody that has futuristic technology that remade him. It made sense for the weaponry that he had.
Right. Now, when they showed him being put into the suit and his little butt was there.
Yeah.
I just had to giggle just because it was silly and there was no reason for it. It was just, it just made me giggle. I thought it was funny. But the best MODOK scene in the movie for me was Cassie talking to him, and she had just beaten the crap out of him. And she goes, you know, you don't need to be a dick. And he's going, but I am a dick. I said, and she was like, well, yeah, but you choose to be a dick. You can choose not to be a dick.
Yeah. Because let's face it, the first movie, he's a dick.
He's a dick, right.
And so the movie actually starts with, like, they have a line, like, why can't you be normal? And, like, Dad, I was attacked when I was 6 years old. I was attacked by a bug man in my bedroom.
Right.
Nothing's normal. And then we get the bug man. So she gets to beat him up. There's a really good piece of, you know, kind of wrapping up her own nightmare kind of thing.
Right. Right. And I like that. And frankly, here's what I didn't like. I didn't really care I didn't really care for the fact that they gave MODOK some redemption.
Yeah.
He's just a bad guy.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with bad guys. Bad guys are important. And then they, you know, he had one last hurrah and then they killed him off. And I didn't care for that either. And because his sacrifice meant nothing. Really. Because the big sacrifice was towards the end. Well, you know, before we get to the end, let's talk a little bit about Scott being thrown into the probability storm as he's trying to get the power source to help Kang. Because Scott is being told, I will not hurt Cassie and let you guys go if you get my power source for me. So he goes...
come on. Like, you know, you know you're lying.
Right, right.
We know you're lying, but you got my daughter in jail, so...
What am I going to do? Right.
I'm going to help you out.
So he goes through a probability storm and starts... what's that movie with Keaton? Synchronicity?
Multiplicity.
Multiplicity, where he starts splitting...
I'm going to pet a dolphin.
Splitting into all kinds of Scott Lang variants, including...
Yeah.
The one that worked at Baskin-Robbins... And never became Ant-Man. What was really cool about that whole thing, I thought, was you got to see, you know, the impulsive Ant-Man who grew really tall to try to get to it and become completely ripped apart. you got to see a bunch of different variants, but at the end of the day, they all kind of joined together.
Well, and you can hear, like, he's talking with MODOK at the same, like, you can hear the dude's voice over the intercom.
Right.
And when that starts happening, because, like, Hope shows up in there as well, because that's where they bring both of the teams back together.
Right.
Hope shows up, and she kind of gets him back on track. And you can hear Darren going, like, oh, my God, how are you doing that? Like, he figured out a way to kind of hold his brain together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think it was that singular purpose.
Because Hope
thing.
Is there. Yeah. Yeah.
Hope is there.
And they got and then singular. And he hears – well, so he gets overwhelmed. He's getting sucked down, and he hears Cassie, you know, Dad, come back to me one more time, which is throwback to the first movie.
Right.
Which is, how did you get out of the microverse? I heard my daughter calling to me.
Yep. Yep. So he managed to, he and Hope together managed to shrink the power source back down to a manageable ball and bring it back to Kang. And get out of the probability storm, because that was just wacky. I thought the probability storm scene was really well done and kind of fun in parts because of the different variants. But okay, that, you know, it served its purpose, and we moved on. So, and then it felt like the entire third act was kind of a just a giant fight.
Yeah. Right. It was.
And I mean,
Cassie does a speech. She rallies the locals. We did get a couple of fight scenes before showing, like, all the robots, all the tech that King has. Right. Because his power supply is broken, but his technology is active. So he has his tech back, but he can't get out.
Right.
So he took over the entire place, destroyed, you know, killed a whole lot of people, which, you know, King the Conqueror, that's what he does.
Right. Well, and he had built up that army and built up this giant city of that he, I guess, is going to use to conquer. And we
do get that shot of, like, the overhead shot of the entirety of his troops as he's like, we're going to get out of here and I'm going to take over the world.
Which looked very much like the Empire.
Yes.
It had that look.
It did have that feel. It also was very similar to the last Tron movie.
Yes. Yes.
There's a whole shot of, like, showing all the troops that whatever the villain name was in that one, I don't remember.
I don't even remember either at this point. it all culminates into the Kang's plan was to lift his entire citadel and city out of the quantum realm so he could conquer with more resources. Now, one of the big flaws to the plan is, even with resistance, he could have escaped by just taking his chair pod. He could have actually just plugged into his chair pod and left the quantum realm, but chose not to. So he's doing this big transmission, because this is what you do in sci-fi movies, a holographic transmission that everybody can see, that is talking about him taking over and him getting ready to leave and whatnot. And Cassie interrupts it to rally the freedom fighters.
She hijacks the stream.
Yep, she hijacks the stream, rallies everybody, and it looks like the big fight starts, right? So the Freedom Fighters are fighting. One of the cool things was, it was named Veb, the blob dude. So Veb gets shot up hardcore, and he goes, wait, I've got holes, which is his way of saying, I'm fine. I just have holes now. And then he sucked a whole bunch of people up into his blob. And it was like, and even Quaz in the movie was like, I didn't know he could do that. So it's really cool. You get a good fight scene, but they're starting to get overwhelmed. And so
What happened? Because Kang actually joins the fight.
Yeah, Kang joins. Oh, and he just starts taking just people out. Just
destroying people. He's got a beam weapon that basically looks like it's a time gun.
Yeah.
He's just erasing people from existence.
Right, right.
And if you're a master of time, why wouldn't you make and technology?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you make yourself a weapon that just deletes people?
Well, here's the other part of that, right? Is this is just kind of a piece of what Kang's capable of, and he's going to be the big bad.
Yes.
Right? So they have to make him pretty bad. He's taking people out, and so it looks like, oh man, this isn't going to work. We need reinforcements. And then those monsters from the beginning of the movie start coming in and helping out. All right, cool, great. But that's not all. Like, because that doesn't appear to be enough.
But so we get Scott showing up as Giant Man.
Right, right.
And then Cassie showing up as Stature.
Right, right.
Which was really cool. I'm very happy that they did that because, I mean, her comic book name is Stature. So. Right,
and they have to deal with that to get her into the Avengers.
Yes. So that was really cool to see. And, you know, the rings are going. The whole thing with the city lifting is he's got the power rings going. So as soon as that started, I'm like, oh, hey, they're going to stop the rings.
Right.
And you hear Kang going, keep him away from the rings. I'm like, okay, he's going to break the rings because that's how he gets out.
Right.
Okay, got it.
And, well, and the other thing on those rings was a whole lot of writing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, it's not a font that I recognize. It was very circular, but it reminded me a lot of the Eternals font.
There was a scene earlier where when they get split up.
Yep.
There's a scene where the mom. Janet. Why am I blanking on her name? Yeah, Janet is opening a door.
Yep.
They're trying to go in somewhere. She's opening the door and she's activating circles, and it actually looked a lot like Doctor Strange stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yes, the way she was waving her hand to open up that big round door. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It looked like she was doing a lot of Doctor Strange magic movements.
Yeah. So I thought that was all very interesting, but they're getting overwhelmed again, and so, oh yeah, where's Hank? And Hank apparently had started communicating again with the ants that fell through, who apparently they fell through a time dilation and have been able to evolve over 1,000 years, and
in the quantum realm,
and so
formed their own type of, you know, primitive government.
Yeah, yeah, and
sounds like they're socialist.
Right, right, and they've got technology that they've developed, and they're way more intelligent. So
they just overrun the whole thing
because there's ants. There's like a lot of them. So they overrun everything. But even with that, Kang is not done, and he's, you know, his ship is powering up, and he's got a force field going, and they're trying to go against the force field. This is where MODOK thrusts his face into the force field to try to fix things, and that's about where MODOK ends up dying. But then they break through the force field, and a portal gets opened back to the real world, the above, or the macroverse, we can call it. And everybody goes through except for Scott, and Scott's like, I need to hold him off so that you guys can get out. And okay, cool. And they leave, and Scott is holding his own way more than I would have expected.
For a few seconds until Kang actually starts beating his ass.
No, I know, but I mean, still, like, he took a decent amount of time.
He does get some punches in there. It was cool to see.
Yeah.
But it is Kang, and it is, you know, so he does get a whooping.
Right.
But like the portal is still open.
The portal's still open, right.
So Hope comes back through and helps him finish the fight.
But then the portal closes.
Yes.
So, you got Scott. Oh, and well, so they finish the fight, and actually Hope knocks Kang into look like almost like a bear power line type thing.
Yeah, they basically blew up the power supply again.
Right.
And as it was like exploding, for the lack of a better term, they pushed Kang into it.
And he shrunk into nothingness, which just means he went further down and he's not dead.
More than likely.
Yeah. I mean,
like that would be the best solution. I mean, they could just say, hey, we killed him.
And it really won't matter. It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
It really doesn't necessarily matter for the future because, well, one, it's Kang, and two, because Kang is at all times. So, and we'll get to part of that later. But so Kang's gone, but Hope and Scott are like stuck. It looks like. Except, no, they're not, because on the other side, Cassie opens up another quantum walkie-talkie.
You know, and I knew that was going to happen, but yeah. I was so disappointed that it didn't take, like, you know, 3-4 years for them to get that.
Well, what would have been really cool is at the end of the movie, have them there. And deal with, you know, because they did that in the first movie with Scott being stuck in the quantum realm.
Yeah.
Right? And so let him stay there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Until the next movie or whatever, and then you deal with it. But no, they just brought him home, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. I just wish there was more like, hey, it took us a week to fix this thing and like bring you back while it was a year for you guys down here.
Right.
You know, give me a little bit of time of like, oh, we're just stuck here now. Oh, no, she finally got us out.
Well, so it's not clear that the time works that way where they were, which is why there's a difference between... I think when Scott went into the quantum realm and came out and it was 5 years later, but he didn't experience 5 years, I think he was stuck in a time vortex.
Probably.
In this one, they didn't hit a time vortex. They just hit
this one realm. Seemed like it was one for one.
Because Janet was actually physically there for 30 years and she only aged 30 years.
No, I get it. I just wish they did a little bit of a time break there, you know.
Understood.
Because the entire lab got sucked in.
Well, here's the thing where I'm wondering if there was something funky going on. So we get back to the real world, right? And we you know, everybody's happy, blah, blah, blah. And we see Scott walking down the street again in another wraparound, you know, walking montage, and he walks into that same place, but everybody seems to know that he's Ant-Man now.
Oh, okay.
And he walks into the coffee shop, and the guy goes, oh, no, it's the Bug Man, the Ant-Man, and he goes, that'll be $12.
Right, because it's free for Spider-Man, free for Ant-Man.
But how'd that guy know now?
Okay.
So there's something weird, and that's when we also hear Scott's inner monologue where he starts going, well, wait, is Kang gone? And he said that bad things were going to happen, and is like he starts doubting everything.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, were we not supposed to do this? We were warned, like he said he would, he starts freaking out. And then he goes, nah, everything will be all right. And keeps walking along. I got a weird vibe. I got a weird vibe when they were back on regular Earth. So I don't know if it's maybe an alternate universe, just a little bit, or what. It was very strange.
I'm guessing they won't do anything with that.
Yeah. So, all right, so, and that's pretty much the end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, we left out a bunch of stuff, but,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, go see the movie.
go see the movie.
But,
I think we sufficiently spoiled everything.
I think so, too. There are two stingers.
Yes. And they're both worth staying for. Oh, yes. My God.
Yes. So, the first one was...
The Council of Kangs.
Just the Council of Kang. Well, yeah, okay. I'm trying. I was thinking that was the second one, but
no. So the first one is the Council of Kangs because you get why am I blanking on their names?
It's Ramatut.
Silver Centurion?
Well, so that's supposed to be the Scarlet Centurion.
Scarlet Centurion, and,
but
sorry.
He was all in blue. So
right.
It may or may not be the Scarlet Centurion. It might be another variant, because another variant that we haven't seen is Iron Lad is actually
right.
Kang, as is Nathaniel Richards.
Right. But this the three here were... Ramatut, it's supposed to be Scarlet
Centurion.
Centurion, yep. And the third one is the main one,
Immortus.
Immortus,
yep. And in full on like comic book regalia in
right.
These, well, Scarlet Centurion was a little different. If that's supposed to be Scarlet Centurion, we don't.
Right.
They didn't name them. They didn't name them. But those are the three big ones, and. Ramatut is clear. Immortus is in charge.
Yeah, and he summoned everybody because you get Ramatut going. Hey, they killed the Conqueror. Are you mad because it was you didn't get to do it yourself?
Yeah.
But Immortus is summoning all the Kangs.
Yeah. So that's and Ramatut asks the question. He goes, "Hey, how many of them did you summon?" And he goes, "All of them." So we then see what looks like a gladiator arena with thousands of Kangs
of various
looks. So here's the thing. I don't remember which comic book it was, but there was a scene where they showed the Council of Kangs. And you saw at the end of that scene where one of the these are all Jonathan Majors at this point.
Yep.
But one of them looked kind of alien and he turns a little bit and screams. He's on the far right of the scene. That scene right there is taken right out of the comic.
Straight from the comic.
Right from the comic.
Nice.
And if you find the comic page, it looks exactly the same. Now, other people have done this. I haven't done this because I can't freeze frame a movie theater. But there is... there are two variations that... could be Gryphon, who is a variant who is a Tony Stark type person.
Okay.
And if you remember from Loki in the Badlands section, there was an Avengers tower that was crashed and whatever.
Yes.
And on the side it said Kang. Q-E-N-G.
Oh, okay.
And that's the business that Gryphon runs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So
I do not remember that from Loki.
Right. So there's that. And then there is, in a distant shot, one of the variants that looks to be all dressed in red. And that could be the Scarlet Centurion.
Right.
Okay. But we just don't know. We just don't know.
There's a lot of possibilities on it. But that was really cool to see.
Right. And then I do remember the last stinger now.
So, yeah, and the second stinger was basically a promo for second season of Loki.
Yep.
As Loki and it's not Morbius, it's Mobius.
Mobius,
right?
Mobius. Yep.
Yeah, Mobius. Are sitting in the audience, which looks like late 1800s.
Yep.
And it's
a show with
Victor Timely yep. is is doing a presentation in a London theater on time not being linear or whatever he says.
Doing a talk about time.
Yeah.
And
Loki looks freaked out.
Yeah.
Cuz he's like Mobius goes, "Well, he doesn't look that dangerous." And Loki's like, "No, dude, he's really dangerous."
Right. And it is
if anybody knows the comics, there's Victor Timely and Victor Timely Jr.
Yeah. And Victor Timely is Kang, like, yes, in this. And so the other thing is, even in the comics, the speculation is that they named him Victor Timely, not just because the time thing happened to work, but also before it became Marvel Comics, it was Timely Comics. That was the name of the company. So that was a kind of a little Easter eggy thing there. Okay. So that's pretty much it. All of it's worth, I can't wait for Loki season two.
Yeah.
It's going to be a trip because they have to deal with Kang the entire time.
Well, I think it's basically Kang is the main arc villain for the Loki series.
Right. Right.
He was for season one. He will be for season two.
Right. So overall, what did you think of the movie?
I would give it probably like a 6.5, 7.
Okay.
I had the problem of, I walked out of the theater. I'm like, okay, that was fun. I got in the car. I'm like, okay, it was all right. But I wouldn't go right back in and see it again.
Yeah. No,
I think it wasn't as bad for me as with Multiverse of Madness when I got into the car and I was like, this was bad. And I just kept going home. I was like, why do I feel like this was a bad movie? It wasn't to that degree. Like Spider-Man, I walked out of the theater. I can just turn around and go back in and watch it again right now.
Yeah, but you have a Spider-Man thing anyway.
Yes, but let's be honest. I'm a fanboy. But I did the same with Love and Thunder. Like, I got out of there and I'm like, okay, this was really cool. I could go see like tomorrow.
Yeah.
This one, I'm like, I can go see it again to see it in 3D. Could be a lot of fun.
Yep. Yep.
So it didn't weigh on me like Multiverse did, where I was like, no, this was bad.
Right. Yeah, I think this is, and there's a whole lot of movies in the mid tier for me.
Yeah.
Black Widow is in the mid tier for me. Doctor Strange Multiverse is I like the first the first Doctor Strange better.
Yeah.
This movie, I'm trying to think where I would rate it against the Ant-Man movies even. I really like the first Ant-Man movie.
I like the first two better than this one, definitely.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out whether or not I like the second one better. I think I did.
Mostly because it's they're more fun. They're just, there's a lot of goofy to it, but they're more fun. Right. I think this one's really good, but I do think the previous two were better. Better Ant-Man movies. Not better Marvel movies, but better Ant-Man movies.
That's fair. But I still it doesn't crack my top 10.
Yeah. And honestly, I think I would really like give me like 2 minutes of Lewis in the beginning, and I would have felt much better about the film.
Okay,
it's just he's so like the first two movies are so connected because of him.
Yeah,
That it feels weird not to have not even like all three of them, just him.
Right, he wasn't there at all. I mean, that was the
just
thing.
That first like the first scene, where they're having lunch, he could have just been like, all right, so blah 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 said something, and then okay, we gotta go, I got a meeting with somebody, and he walks out of the shot and then everything happens.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Just give me like a 2 minute cameo with him and I would have liked it more.
Because we don't even know if that security company is even still around.
Yes.
So
but just give me Lewis doing an MCU recap.
Right. Okay, cool. I think that pretty much wraps things up. So, Sen, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on twitch.tv/SenRaven. Usually in the evenings these days, except on the weekends because my work schedule shifted. So I've been doing a lot of evening streams like around 9 p.m. Pacific instead of 9 a.m. Pacific. So come by, say hello, come hang out.
No wonder I haven't seen you in the mornings.
Yeah.
So I can be found everywhere at VO by Kurt, except on Twitter, where it's real VO by Kurt. Because
you're back on Twitter.
Well, only because I created a new account.
Yeah.
most of my energy these days, however, is going to TikTok. where I do a daily vlog about my weight loss journey called Fat Guy. And starting up a new podcast that should be launching in April called Plus Size Stories, where I can help tell the stories of other people going through their weight loss journeys. So with that, like, follow, subscribe, all that stuff. We will see you maybe next week. Keep an eye on things. And yeah, we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.